Hello, and welcome to the first episode of Mindful Moment, a podcast where we explore the relevance and importance of wellness at MVHS.
We are all on a different journey, and I think you said it beautifully. And the image I like to always use is like water runs downhill, and it runs downhill in its own unique way, you know, and so you got to just let it go. And I think, you know, what I always say is like, I ended up Mountain View High School. I'm very happy when I was teaching here at Mountain View High School and being in the community. And every adult that's on this campus has a completely different pathway to get here. And whichever job you go to and you ask people, well, how'd you get here? It's a unique, complete unique, individualized path.
That was William Blair speaking on this episode of Mindful Moment about his insight as wellness coordinator at MVHS. Please join us by tuning in to our conversations with William Blair, Margarita Medina, and Avery Olmsted.
Okay, so if you guys could just please introduce yourselves, your name, position, and your grade.
Hey, great. Hi, I'm William Blair. I pronounce he, him, and I'm the wellness coordinator for the district.
Thank you for having me. My name is Avery Olmsted. I'm a student at Mountain View High School. I'm a senior. My pronouns are she, her, and they, them. And I am currently a part of the Mountain View High School Ambassadors Program. On the executive board, I am the lead of the Mental Health Committee.
And my name is Margarita Medina. I am a general education therapist here at Mountain View High School, and my pronouns are she, her.
Awesome. Thank you, everyone. So in today's episode, we're going to talk about wellness at Mountain View, and specifically, what is it? How could we improve it at the school? So if we could just go around, maybe starting with Mr. Blair, what is wellness to you personally? And how would you define wellness for both students and staff?
So I would say the short version for me is maintaining a healthy life balance and really finding the balance with your social self, your emotional self, your intellectual self, your spiritual self, your employed self. There's so many different elements of who we are, and really finding balance and peace with kind of who you are and how you are.
Do you, Avery?
I would say a really similar thing to Mr. Blair, kind of building up on that harmonious relationship with all of the different parts of yourself, all of your relationships with people in your lives, your environment, and how you carry yourself, how you care for yourself, that helps you then care for others as well. So finding that relationship between all the parts of yourself and the parts of yourself that interact with outside people.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a, you know, wellness for me, it's kind of like holistically looking at all parts of ourselves, not just our physical health, but also our emotional health, our social health, our environmental health. But I also feel like there's like this active component to it too, that we're like, you know, making choices to have, you know, a balanced lifestyle.
So if all of you guys could share, like, why do you think wellness is so important, and especially why is it important for high school students?
I can start from the perspective of a student. I'm a senior now, so I've heard a lot from my teachers over the years. Elementary school, we're preparing you for middle school. Middle school, we're preparing you for high school. High school, we're preparing you for college and jobs and beyond. And a lot of the time, even my own personal definition and idea of that, my perception was that is preparing you academically and for the workforce. Mm-hmm. But I think it's so important that we kind of broaden that perception of preparing for the next step of your lives to also prepare yourselves for emotional and physical changes that will be happening in your lives. I'm going to be going to college next year, so kind of acknowledging now that I will be not surrounded by the same people I've grown up with. So I think that can be a really scary feeling. So I think that, again, broadening that idea that wellness should be encouraged and encouraging students to find that balance within their lives, encouraging students to learn healthy coping mechanisms for when they might be struggling and away from home and close friends and family, and learning how to adapt to new environments. I think that at this school, in this area in general, there's a very strong emphasis on finding kind of a very quick, fast-paced environment, finding a job right away after college, going to a four-year university. So I really think it's great that wellness is starting to be talked about a lot more at this school, so that students can kind of find a way to destigmatize what wellness and what mental health means to them and looks like in their lives.
Hear, hear. And I'd go back to just our definition, which there was so many different aspects of self that we talked about, and we focus on academic self. And there's other elements we focus on, including collaboration and, you know, problem solving and all that. But there's so many other developmental tasks of adolescence and of just being human. Like, we just had a healthy relationships presentation. Yeah. And how important it is for us to, you know, build those basic skills and needs into kind of what we're doing. Like, where do young people start to learn who they are with their identity formation and their social relationships, you know, beyond the one-off assemblies? Like, how do we do that? How do we build emotional regulation? Like, you know, being able to identify your feelings and express yourself and establish boundaries in your relationships is a life skill that actually helps academics. And so.
Yeah. I totally agree. I think one of the things that I think about why wellness is so important to students is because I think of you all as like our future. You know, you guys are going to lead the world someday, and like, if you guys are not healthy, like, how are we going to, you know, move along? How are we going to survive as a species? And yeah, I totally agree that, you know, sometimes at school we're so like academically driven, but maybe we forget about the, you know, the other aspects too that, you know, we need to look at as far as wellness, like, you know, yeah, because if you're happy, if you're in a good space, you're gonna achieve better academically, you're gonna do better academically, right? And I think it just overall, it just helps our society when people are well.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And I think as we talk about wellness, you know, when I think of health, I think about how, you know, elementary school kids were learned that, you know, you eat well, you exercise well, you sleep well, you have nutrition lessons, right, where it's very important that we get active outside. But I think those conversations about, you know, taking care of your mental health, how to deal with stress, aren't really open for many students and families to talk about with their children. And I just kind of want to know more about, how do you think that MVHS has supported this more recent, I would say, destigmatization of, you know, mental health and wellness in recent years?
Well, I think I've noticed, well, for me, when my freshman year was the year that things were kind of coming out of the pandemic, so I didn't really have an idea of what Mountain View High School was doing before that, but I know from my middle school, there was not a lot of support for students' mental health. I know that I had gone to the counselors like many times, and it was not confidential. It was not a very supportive system that they had. But coming out of the pandemic and into high school, I was really relieved to see that there were teachers and staff that wanted to support student mental health. And I think that that can be tied a lot into the pandemic, for having a whole world experience so much isolation and fear and confusion and maybe stress or from other factors or losing family members or not being able to go outside and socialize. So I think that that could possibly like play a very strong part in that school boards and administrators are seeing the effects of COVID and of isolation and how that might affect students and staff. So I think that could definitely play a role in how Mountain View High School has been more proactive in jumpstarting the wellness initiative.
Ooh, I can talk for hours about this. So, and I have a little bit of a long view too. I've been at Mountain View for a really long time, since 2004. And I would say over the last 10 years, things have escalated and youth mental health has declined and expectations on young people has dramatically increased. Free time and downtime and the ability to do things for fun and to explore who you are has like completely dissipated. And so so looking at it from the long term, one of the things that I think MVLA is doing is starting to create more pathways for students and more options for students. I think the career and technical education angle is providing some of that. I think when it comes to supporting students. Over the last 10 years, you can look at all the CDC reports, the National Institute of Mental Health reports, like, you know, we're going the wrong way. All the indicators are going the wrong way. And so how has MVLA responded? Well, first and foremost, it's hiring a team of therapists and school support staff who are able to help young people when they come. And so we've been building that infrastructure. We've been, you know, increasing our partnerships with outside mental health agencies and social services agencies. We've been building our internal staff. So we've been doing all that. And then I think, you know, the pandemic came along. And when the pandemic came along, we kind of like, whoa, we need to get back to connection. We need to get back to supporting young people. We know that during the pandemic, folks were feeling isolated and lonely. And that continues to be one of the biggest sources of stress for young people, is lack of connection, relationship stress, and loneliness. And so being back in the school setting and really trying to prioritize relationship building within the classroom setting, more of the Spartan Pause events, more of, we established the Spartan Spot, so folks can kind of have some wellness activities there, doing groups that are proactive, maybe you can talk a little about that. But so there's a lot of different initiatives that we have incorporated to try to address wellness and mental health.
So a lot for like the past like couple of years, you said that you've been here for like since 2004. What do you think over the past years, how has wellness been overlooked for many students and even for staff?
So it's, I don't know if it has been overlooked. I think we haven't prioritized it as much as I'd like to see it. Of course, I'm the wellness coordinator, so you know, you imagine I would say that. I think everything that we've said before, it's important for us to really meet students where they are developmentally. What is the ultimate goal of education? And I always ask that. What are our like primary goals that we're trying to achieve? And academics are definitely one of them. But there's more than that. Like we're teaching humans, you know, and then I teach English, you know, but I teach humans. And the skills that we learn in each of our academic classes actually transcend all of the disciplines, ideally. And so that's where the graduate profile that MVLA has recently come up with kind of shows, look, it's really about reaching the different skill sets to make us 21st century ready. And so that transcends the academics. And I think it's hard for us to build infrastructure and time within the school day to really hone these skills. And so I think it's about prioritizing.
Adding on to what you were saying about, you know, kind of like how our academic classes really do carry on into, you know, our own like emotional well-being. I mean, like, you know, as freshmen, we are required to take the ethnic studies course, which not only, you know, where we learn about like the history of ethnicity and race in America. And I'm seeing a lot of in the coursework, I'm not just learning about, you know, historical events, but really how to create like an inclusive community, which is so important, especially because we live in such a diverse area. I feel like classes like that, I can very sort of deliberately like clearly see how empathy is really being fostered, which I believe is an extremely important thing for, regardless of your age, to just learn. And I'm just wondering, Ms. Medina, how would you say like the therapists are supporting students through, you know, what sorts of activities, not even just one-on-one sessions, but are there, you know, groups that are meeting? Could you talk a bit about that, maybe?
I think, you know, so I provide an individual therapy to students here on campus. You know, so they can, you know, function well here at school and focus in school. But I'm also starting to provide and run psychoeducational groups, like how to practice mindfulness, so we can, you know, just have more peace, you know, and more tranquility. Because I think, you know, going back to the balance you were talking about, I think that's the thing I want to teach my students, like, yes, like, you know, it's good to have goals and want to go to college, but like also learn how to balance that, you know, so anxiety and stress doesn't take over us. So I really like what you said about empathy, and it just makes me think about, you know, also how I think as educators, as like, you know, therapists, like that we also have to practice, you know, humility and just kind of really being curious about what you guys are struggling with, right? So we can support you. Like I think about, you know, with wellness, like one of the things I see with my students, it's like, y'all are not sleeping. Y'all are, you know, sleep deprived. And, you know, I think about like you guys come to school, if you're an athlete, might maybe have to like stay longer after school and have all these extracurricular activities and then go home and like do homework and, you know, staying up really late. And just like biologically as adolescents, you guys tend to go to sleep later, but then you guys are expected to wake up, you know, early. And I think we need to be more conscious about that too, right? Like I know that, you know, we used to start at a later time and now we moved back to starting, you know, school at like 8:30, right? And I still, you know, I come to work at 8 and I still see kids on campus and I'm like, you guys could have more time to be sleeping. But you know, those are the things I think about, and I think those are things that I think we need to like be more curious about and how it impacts our students and how we can, you know, support by like, you know, changing the systems a little bit of that so we can support with wellness too.
The fundamental needs that we have are sleep and nutrition and mm-hmm. social connection, and you know, and those are kind of the core basic needs that we have, and then we're able to get to the other. But right. I don't think we're really honoring what our core needs are, which like sleep is one of them, and time for downtime and reflection and the need for belonging and autonomy, like, and independence. All of that is like core, and so we have to build those needs, and as we support those needs, then we're able to get to some of the higher function.
So adding on to what all of you guys said, like, I know a lot of like my freshman peers, they already have their whole 4 years planned out and what they're going to do, and they really just focus on the idea of like, well, high school is like make it or break it. If I don't do this, I can't get into the college that I want and I won't be successful in life. And so how would you tell students and say that college is not everything and that wellness is extremely important and you have to prioritize that?
Well,
that's maybe.
It's interesting that you bring that up because that was me as a freshman. I was definitely the freshman that was planning out when it came to advisory week and picking my classes for sophomore year. I was doing the same thing for my junior and senior year already. And I think a lot of that did probably come from family pressure and just being in the area we're in and friends comparing schedules and course loads. Even if it's not intentional to make people feel stressed out, it is definitely a side effect that comes with that. So I think something that is really helpful to hear as a student from teachers and especially from family is that there are, I think, two aspects to it. One is that validation and feeling like you are going to be accepted and you're doing enough and your family will support and be proud and love you no matter what your future looks like or what classes or extracurriculars you're currently doing. And I think another part of that is talking about the mindset and the perception of mental health and wellness. We were talking about a little bit earlier about destigmatization of mental health and having adults encourage students and youth to reach out for help and provide that space to talk is so important, because that's the first step in receiving help is, or finding your connection, is asking for it. And it's such a scary thing to do, but when you have teachers and mentors and parents encouraging that and helping to break down that idea that it's unwell or abnormal to be struggling with your mental health, that's, I think, a really crucial step in helping students find that balance and learn how to kind of maintain wellness in their lives.
Yeah, I think when you talked about advisory week, that's so true, you know, because everyone's comparing what classes you're taking for the next 3 years, right, of high school. And I think one of the main lessons I've really had to sort of like incorporate into my own life, and I'm not sure Laura too, but is really focusing on yourself. It's almost like you have to wear like horse blinders, like my mom calls them, because you know, like your high school journey is for yourself. Right, and we talk about empathy, you know, learning the important social skills for high school, you know, as we essentially grow into, you know, like young people. And I also think a really important part of that also is learning to take care of yourself. And I think focusing truly on what your needs are, what, you know, doing things that's in the best interest of you. And I feel like when we look at wellness, it's a personal, holistic thing that's very different for each person. I think all of us, you know, we wind down differently from a long day, we deal with stress differently. And I think that something that I'm gonna take away from this is definitely that everyone is on their own journey to figuring it out you know, some later than others. And I think, though, it is really important to start talking about this at a younger age, like, you know, as we're teenagers, because this is, we're in like our prime years right now, and, you know, our brains are still developing. They haven't developed fully at all yet. And yeah, that's what I wanted to add, I think. Laura?
I also think that from like a like a very early age, especially for students, it's very important, like especially academics, to be on a higher level. And like I think starting sixth grade with like my elementary school, they started implementing the different math pathways. And all the students think, well, if I'm in a higher math, like math class, will I be more successful? Will that be a better future? And I think a lot of the students who weren't in that path, they also kind of felt some sort of like, you know, they felt kind of bad, burdened that they weren't, that they didn't, that they were not in that path. And so I also think that's very important, like in high school, to know that these different pathways, the different classes, accelerated, AP, honors, it doesn't make you any different if someone took it that's not accelerated and goes at a slower pace, because it's very important for you to focus on your wellness and not for, and not focus on somebody else's wellness.
Yeah, but we have one final wrap-up thing, but I just wanted to open up the space for any final thoughts you wanted to add or comments.
Yeah, just one quick comment I have about just about that path. Like, we are all on a different journey, and I think you said it beautifully. And the image I like to always use is, like, water runs downhill, and it runs downhill in its own unique way, you know? And so you got to just let it go. And I think, you know, what I always say is, like, I ended up Mountain View High School. I'm very happy when I was teaching here at Mountain View High School and being in the community. And every adult that's on this campus has a completely different pathway to get here. And whichever job you go to and you ask people, well, how'd you get here? It's a unique, complete unique, individualized path. And yet we think that there's like this algorithm we can figure out to get you where you need to go, starting with like filling out your advisory day, like this is what I gotta do and then I'll get there. But we're all different, you know? Yeah. And so instead of pushing like, you gotta be done with seventh grade math by the time you're in sixth grade, like, let's just let kids do the math that they're in.
And just going back to that question is like, you know, I disclose to the students I see when they're, especially my seniors who are stressing out about like the future and kind of that existential crisis, like what's my purpose? And all these fears come up. I share, you know, that I failed my first semester of college and I ended up going back to community college. Then transferred to San Jose State and then got my master's at Santa Clara, and I'm here. And nobody has asked me what college you've been to, you know? And I also like to share my husband's story, who like went back to college at 25 and now is a lawyer, you know? So it's like everybody's journey is different, and it doesn't mean you're behind, you know? And, but I know y'all feel a lot of pressure, you know, to like go to those like Ivy League colleges and yeah. So, but I think, for me, what's more important for you all is your wellness, your safety, and yeah, you guys are well.
Thank you so much for all of your absolutely wonderful comments and responses to our questions. And kind of in our own research, you know, one of the things that we see that a lot of people do to practice, you know, journaling, mindful journaling, is gratitude. So what we wanted to end today with is, if you could all just share, you know, whoever would like to go first, what is one thing you are grateful for today?
I'd be happy to start. One thing I'm grateful for, and I'm grateful for every day, is my younger brother, Evan. He's a freshman here, and I make this joke all the time, but he's so funny, and he just checks in on me in, like, the most sweetest ways. Like, last night, I was up really late studying for a test I have this week, and he walked in, like, a 40-year-old man, like, in my room, like, what are you doing up? Like, he's not even 15 yet. He's like, what are you doing up? Like, it's so late. Like, Avery, I'm gonna go make you some tea, and then you're gonna go to bed because I'm worried about you. And I was like, I had a whole moment. I was like, wow, my younger brother is so mature, and he's just looking out for me. So every day I'm grateful for my brother. He's so kind, and he's like, I look up to him in the way that he cares about his wellness and the wellness of his other friends. So I look up to him in that way, for being so mindful and considerate of other people.
Mm-hmm. That's so nice, yeah.
I'm grateful for connecting with others.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I'm grateful for people in my life, mm-hmm. And for the connections, and for you. who are passionate about making change in the world.
Yeah. I'm also grateful for my younger brother who, just his innocence and like the way he looks up at other people is just like, it brings me joy to see that.
I am grateful for being able to be here today and having the opportunity to do this. And I'm also grateful that I'm not afraid to talk about this topic, which I think so many people seem to avoid, but I want to talk about. So I think that's a wrap.
Yeah, that's. Thank you guys all so much for coming.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
That's all for this episode of Mindful Moment. Feel free to subscribe and comment wherever you listen to your podcasts. This episode was hosted and edited by Anushka Dugar and Lara Leon. Orgo's Forums are a publication of Mountain View High School Orgo, so for more information, go to mvhsoracle.com.